Okay, so I would like to present you a topic, Rambam, rabbi, physician, and philosopher, and I think to look at the personality historically and the way he synthesized, he put all together, that is something very unique to talk about Jewish medical ethics, and to see a giant like Rambam can show that these all topics are deeply connected. They are not just several fields, and he built certain bridges. I want to show that they are all very, very deeply connected. But before I actually start the talk, I prepared for Dr. Laser a special PowerPoint slide to show that the PowerPoint is midoraita. We actually find in the first Rashi, Bereshit bara Elokim, the first word he is mentioning from the Bible Rashi is here, Koach ma'asav higid la'amo. Right? The first quotation of any pasuk in Rashi is Koach ma'asav higid. If you want to show and present something, you need Koach ma'asav. And if you look at Koach, you see that Koach means power, right? And there's a little point, so we have PowerPoint, right? So, Laser, that is especially for you. And I would like actually to show you now with this presentation on the Rambam that things I will try to present, you cannot do it without giving all these information here. I would like to show that the feature of Rambam as a rabbi and as a doctor and as a philosopher, they were deeply, deeply connected. And I would like to confuse you that several halachical issues you will find in his medical writings and philosophical in his rabbinical writings. It comes all together. It's not really confusing because if you look at the context, you will see very well that he had something deep in mind to show this part. I would like to show you here, the talk is dedicated in the publication which you have in your handouts, to Dr. Eppelboim, Zichrono Livracha, and when Rambam spoke about his brother, who died, unfortunately, in the sea, he says at the end that I'm mourning every day his death, and at the end he says, Velulei ha-Torah hi-sha-shu'ai, az avadati ve'oni. But he adds, V'divrei ha-chochmot she'eshkach bahem yeguni. When he was talking about his brother, he says, if I wouldn't have the Torah to enjoy, and all the wisdom and research to forget my misery, I would, as avadati boni, I would never get out of this crisis. And if you watch carefully, he uses a pasuk, lulei toratcha sha'ashuai as avadati boni, but he adds, and knowledge. For the Rambam, to combine Torah with knowledge was one. It wasn't like breaking a pasuk, talking about the Torah. It's all together, and we shall see that during the talk. I would like to talk now about, that is the outline of the speech, Maimonides' life, an overview that will be very short, as a rabbi and showing and physician philosopher. For each section, I would actually like to show that they are deeply connected. Meshe Chochme, a commentator some 80 years ago in Poland, he wrote that all writings in the Rambam are connected. If the Rambam says something in his commentary to the Mishnah, think about it what he says in his Mishneh Torah and in his Guide of the Perplexed. See all of them as one unit. I would like to extend this important rule and say everything you will learn about the Rambam, including his philosophy and including his medical writings, they are deeply connected. And actually today most people are not familiar with the medical writings because they are really very, very ancient. It takes us back more than 800 years. You're not really studying these writings as relevant material. On the other hand, I would like to show that they are very relevant, at least to understand the Rambam as one personality. And that is the focus that what I would like to show. Each topic as a rabbi, physician, and philosopher is extremely rich, but the combination, that is what I would like to focus now. That's an important slide which shows you his life, and I would like to build it up gradually, the years which you have on the left side here, and that is the map of Europe, Christianity and Islam were fighting and trying to conquer the world, including Eretz Yisrael. Rambam was born in Cordoba, which had a very good tradition of Christianity and Islam. But at the age of 13, the family had to escape because they were the Almohads, a very extreme Islamic group, And for at least 12 years, it's not really clear where the family was. 5 years there lived in Fez, where he studied Gemara. Clearly, he had their exposure to medicine, famous physicians who were working there. And at the 1165, the family had again to escape because his teachers were killed al Kiddush Hashem. At that stage, they decided to go to Eretz Yisrael. And we know from one of his letters, Sheelech, if there is any shmad, any difficult situation for the Jewish people, he wrote in a letter much later, Sheelech le'eretz Yisrael lishkon sham ve'lo yamot b'shum makom b'shum panim b'mkom ashmad. Go to Eretz Yisrael. If there is any problem for the Jewish community, you have a place to go to Eretz Yisrael. Not like today, where there's an easy possibility. Even at the time where the Crusaders lived in Eretz Yisrael, he wrote that, his father also wrote that, and he did it. Unfortunately, after 6 months, the family had to leave Eretz Yisrael. They couldn't survive there, and they came to Fostat in Egypt, where he lived till the end of his life. He was buried together with his father in Tveria. Interesting, he wrote, and you have it in the bottom of this big slide, he wrote in the end of his commentary to the Mishnah at the age of 30, when I was when I was extremely disturbed from the political situation, and we were in the exile, and we had to escape from one place to the other, from one end of the earth to the other one, and at that time Spain and Eretz Israel was really the end of the Mediterranean world, I wrote all these perushim to the Mishnah. So I was always impressed by these two lines, that even though he had an extremely difficult life, despite of that, he was capable to sit down, not with a laptop, not with online, just writing his Mishnah, learning the Mishnah, the Gemarot, and writing his Perush, despite of all these problems. And later on, I learned from the book published recently by Moshe Halbertal, on the Rambam, he says that was actually the motivation. He was a refugee. He had to escape from one place to the other, but he wanted to have a homeland, the Torah. And he wanted to write it down in a very systematic way and to build the whole world. So it's not just despite of this tzarot he had, but it was because of them, and he built up himself actually to answer the galut and the nidut, and the nidut ba'olam. I summarize here briefly on this slide what I will show now in the talk, the Jewish studies and writings, the scientific writings, the Jewish studies. We will have the Perush on the Mishnah, Sefer HaMitzvot, Mishnei Torah, and he was a leader. He worked with people. He wasn't just a scholar, a theoretical scholar. He worked with the community. He wrote wonderful letters. In science, he was deeply connected to astronomy, to mathematics, and worked for many, many years as the royal physician to the Sultan in Cairo, and wrote later on, actually the last 12 years of his life, medical writings. And philosophy, as a 16, 17 years old, he wrote his treatise on logic, Milot Higayon, which he later developed to the Guide of the Perplexed when he was much older. This combination, each field is a whole world, and the combination, what I'm interested to see, how did he put all these fields together? And I will not talk about all the slides, but I would like to show you here how he was living. That's one of his letters to his student, Rabbi Shmuel Ibn Tibon, who is his famous translator. My duties to the Sultan are very heavy. And here he describes how he was working extremely hard in Fostat, came back to, he was extremely hard in Cairo, came back, and I find the antechambers filled with people, Jews and Gentiles, nobles and common people, judges and policemen, friends and foes, a mixed multitude. And when they wait his return, he washes his hands and sits down and talks to them. And he says at the end, I converse with them, he talks with them. He takes time and focus and dedicates time for each of them. I think that's a very nice description, that he gave time to everybody. If somebody wants to talk to me in my free time, you have to come to me Shabbat. Shabbat he has time. Of course, that's not the lifestyle he had all his life. He wouldn't be the Rambam. but very impressive to see his deep dedication to medicine after he finished his Mishneh Torah in Moreh Nevuchim. I would like to show you now on the Mishnah, which he wrote as his first opus, his first book, is the first comprehensive book to the whole Mishnah. Included there Talmudic discussion, but he was also talking about basic things like the oral law, Torah Shebal Peh, the development, the history, and there are many issues included of medical aspects. No doubt that at that time he had a strong interest in medicine. During these centuries, people were not studying training in a medical school. It was like knowledge which you gathered from exposure to people, personal interest. There was no formal study to it. Clearly, he had at that time a strong interest in medicine, as I would like to show you in a moment. And we see it here. He included there many philosophical aspects. The famous 13 principles of Yahadut are actually in his Perusha Mishnah. He developed that later. So in the Mishnah, he sees philosophy, he sees history, and he sees Musar, Perush le Pirkei Avot. It's all included there. It's a very interesting source to look at the young Rambam, how he worked and how he was interested in fields. I will skip this slide. That is the important source talking about Rambam's introduction to the Mishnah. And I would like to show you that this young rabbi was actually, in his mind, an MD. When he asked, why do we start the Mishnah with Masechet Brachot? The simple answer is, if you look Masechet Brachot, it starts with Kriyat Shema. Veshoch b'chauf kumecha is Kriyat Shema. So we don't need further explanations why we start with Kriyat Shema. That's really a common mitzvah to start with. It doesn't need any further clarification. The Rambam says, in Masechet Brachot, we talk, what do we eat? Later on in the Masechet, not only Tfilah, which brachot do we say for Geffen, for Hamotzi, and so on. All the section Masechet Brachot talks about brachot. And the most important thing, says the Rambam, ki harofe hamumche, keshe yirtze lishmor briut habari, he thinks about what to eat, what is the diet. So the reason that Masechet, that the Mishnah starts, the Talmud starts with Masechet Brachot, is not because Shema in the morning and at night. It is because eating and being healthy is the most important preventive thing that the Torah wants from us, and therefore harofe hamumche, the experienced doctor would tell you, take care of your diet and the way of your lifestyle. That is the reason that the whole Gemara starts, the whole Mishnah starts with Masechet Brachot. The very same thing he says in his Perush to Baba Batra, the Sanhedrin, talking about courts and judges. He asks there, the Mishnah explains that before you go to a judge, try to find a compromise, mediation. And even if you come to court, the court decides, yes, we will take care of your case, but the judges, the first thing, have to say, yes, we are your judges, go home and try to mediate. And that is halacha, pshara, pshara, as mentioned at the beginning of Masechet Sanhedrin. And the Rambam asks, why do we have to do that? And he says, just look at doctors. Not everything that we can do, we have to do. Don't go to the fifth line treatment if there is a first line that you can do it softly without a traumatic intervention. That is what he says here. Klalo shel davar, tzarich harofe, tzarich hashofet, lihiyot kerofe habaki. Ki harofe habaki kol zman sheyachol ve'efshar lo lerapot b'minei mazon, lo yirapeh al yedei samim. If you can heal him with lifestyle, what you eat, you do not need to give him anything else. Just keep him well with simple measurements that you can give him and offer him. So we see here that deeply in his rabbinical thinking, he was actually a doctor. And it was really, ba'im ke'echad, it was not that he had one field and one hobby and another interest, and he did one in the morning and one in the afternoon. It was one for his thinking, as we shall see very soon. Rambam was called from Moshe ad Moshe lo kam ke Moshe. From Moshe, from the first Moshe Rabbeinu, till him there was nobody like him. He got this very special title, not after his death. He got it when he wrote the letter to the community, Beteiman. That is the famous, beautiful letter, Igeret Hashmat, which is extremely interesting, and we're talking about history, but you will see that also as a leader of the community, he was a physician. Why? In this letter, the background is that the rabbi there told the Jews, those who had to convert to Islam, and it was a terrible time of the Holy War, those who had to convert to Islam when they came back the other day to the Beit Knesset were not allowed, according to one rabbi, to be part of the minyan. Since you converted to Islam, you are lost. And Rambam didn't really like that. The community was in shock about this psak. And they asked the famous Rambam what he thinks about it. During a very short period of time, he wrote this beautiful Igeret Hashmat back to him, written in a simple language that men, women, and children could read it. Rambam understood who he is talking to. In a simple, very approachable language, he explains that is not the psak, and I will not go in detail. I would like to draw your attention to a very interesting sentence, which I think reflects who is the Rambam. Kasher ha'iti ha'davar hazeh, ha'machali ha'guf v'ha'inayim, samti yadi l'kabetz samim u'psamim rosh, mi'sifrei ha'rishonim, sam mo'il l'machala hazot sh'terapeh bo. When I saw this terrible decision by the rabbi there in southern Africa, that they are not allowed to come back to shul, I decided that is a terrible disease for the body and for the eyes. And I should go and collect pharmaceuticals, treatments, drugs to heal this terrible disease. What's the disease that the Jewish is thrown out from shul? Why is the Rambam talking medicine here? So I found an explanation which I did not like by an English translator and commentator. He said that is Rambam's medical jargon. And that's exactly what he says 2 pages earlier he's not going to do, because he wrote it in a simple Arabic language that everybody should understand it. So it was certainly not his intention to show off that he can talk in medical terms and nobody will understand him. The real answer is, I believe, that the Rambam understood to heal a community who suffers from a terrible political situation and to go and fight for human rights like physicians for human rights is a medical, halachical, social commitment. And therefore, he uses the language that he's going to heal them with his new halachical rabbinical psak. So I think that shows very nicely he was fully a rabbi and the physician when he talked as a leader to this community in Yemen. He wrote a book of the commandments summarizing the 613 mitzvot. And I would like to talk now briefly about the Mishneh Torah, where he defines the whole Jewish law. It's the first total codification of the entire corpus of the Jewish law, a systematic presentation of all the material summarized in 14 books with exactly 1,000 chapters. And their interesting philosophical, scientific, and medical knowledge is incorporated. Many research was written, and classical rabbinical interest focused on the Rambam Mishneh Torah of Soloveitchik and the whole Brisk, and many, many approaches are written on that. I would like now to do something which is like Jewish chutzpah, to try to summarize the whole Mishneh Torah on one slide. And I wouldn't do that. I know I have a lot of Jewish chutzpah, but the Rambam himself says, if I could summarize the whole Torah in one halacha, I would never ever write two. And I think to look at the Rambam, at whole Mishneh Torah on one slide, will teach us something extremely interesting, the way he sees Jewish law, and the way he sees what is the place of the human being and the Jewish person in the law. It starts with the Sefer Mada, purely rationalistic approach. What do we know? What is the knowledge? And Sefer Mada is the brain. That would really be a wonderful challenge to draw it as an art presentation. It starts with the brain, and the next one is Sefer Ahava. You have to love what you do, not only to understand it, the basic understanding, including Ilchot Shuvah, it's also you have to love it. So after the basic religious, philosophical, and psychological concepts, Hilchot Deot, which we'll look at it in a moment, He says, once you learn it theoretically, academically, you have to translate it to daily life and do it. And you have to translate it to the Jewish calendar. And you have to translate it to Jewish family life from generation to generation. Afterwards, it comes in various religious practices, which include also the law, including international law, as we have at the very end of the Mishneh Torah. So he actually sees in the whole material he summarized from all the Talmudim and Geonim, everything that was written till his time, he summarized it and rephrased it in a totally different structure. It starts with your brain to your heart, what you do every day, what you do along the year, along your life cycle, and you expand it gradually to your environment. That is a very humanistic approach of the whole halakha. It starts with your brain, it starts with yourself, what you do. And I think that's a beautiful insight to look at the Mishneh Torah in this way. Interesting, if we look at the beginning, where he starts as a philosopher, as a psychology, in Hilchot Deot, at the end he talks, what is the role of the Jewish people with all the nations? And to write that in a time of the medieval age is outstanding, and I will show you the source in a moment. At the beginning, he says, before you learn Torah, you have to learn Hilchot Deot. How to behave, how to conduct yourself. And here he says, in the same way, and here we hear him speaking not as a rabbi, as a doctor rabbi. The same way that there are diseases of the body, there are diseases of your mind. Very modern psychosomatic approach. And sometimes people miss what is sweet and what is bitter, and they don't really recognize. So you have to teach them, you have to show them who is who, how to conduct. And what is the best way to do that? And here I would like to focus on this line. Umahi takanat cholei hanefashot. If you are going the wrong way and you're not walking in the path of Hashem, lehidamot bedrachav, imitatio dei, what are you doing? Umahi takanat cholei hanefashot. Yelchu etzel hachamim shehem rofei hanefashot veyrapu cholyam bedeot shemelamdim otam ad sheyachzerum lederech tova. If somebody is going the wrong way, like a psychotherapy, the rabbi, he should go to the rabbi, and there are the Takanat Cholei HaNefashot, the Chachamim. They should be the Rufei HaNefashot, and they should heal them. He talks as a physician, but not heal them medically, heal them psychologically. You have in this Rambam all the colors of him as a rabbi, physician, and philosopher. In Hilchot Deot. How you should do that? The most important expression here is you have to teach him. Show him the way he should go. Don't do it for him. Show him the approach that the student or each person, he should go v'yinhogbo, and he should go this way. That is the psak of the Rambam. In his medical writings, we will see very shortly that he talks about how should you behave and lead yourself to be healthy. So he empowers each individual to be healthy on his own, and the rabbi should teach him how to do that philosophically, spiritually, and afterwards he will say the same as a physician. This morning we started to blow shofar, and I decided to show you a beautiful Rambam in Hilchot Tshuva, and we need what I would call the Rambam microscope. If you learn halacha in the Rambam, it's worthwhile to see where is the source coming from, what is he taking from somewhere, how is he changing it, and what is he adding? And here we see a beautiful remez. He says, shofar is a gzera. You have to blow shofar because that is what it says in the Torah. Even though there is a message. Wake up, people, and come. Wake up and come back to your sources. And he says there, a beautiful text, I will make it short. He says, habitu lenafshotechem, vehitivu dachechem umalechem. Look at your souls. Improve the way you're living and your activities, and each viazov kol echad darko hara'a umachshavto asher lo tova. Everybody should leave his bad behavior and his wrong thinking. And here we see that is the Rambam microscope. If we look at the sources, we see that midarko hara'a veitivu darkechem umal alechem is really taking a biblical quotation. He not only combined rabbinical, medical, and philosophical aspects in his rabbinical writings, you have wonderful connections from one source to the other, and we have to recognize that. But he adds two words. The message of the shofar is Habitu lenafshotechem. The beginning of tshuva is the first step, introspection. Habit lenafshotechem. Look at yourself. Before you do anything else, you change the way you behave, first of all, try to understand yourself. And I think that's a very interesting insight that the Rambam adds to the pasuk taken from Yirmiyahu, and that's a Rambam quotation, a Rambam source. He says the first thing a human being has to do to understand himself and to look at himself. Habitu lenafshotechem. A friend of mine, Rav Dr. Eliyahu Aviad, wrote his thesis a few years ago on these aspects in the Rambam, and I would like to share with you now how the Rambam in his psak, in his rabbinical writing, spoke about the soul. And we have some very interesting insights here. The Rambam here says, if you want to say a special prayer for a sick person, say it, but don't think that each prayer you say will automatically heal him. Because one is Refuat HaNefesh and one is Refuat HaGuf. For Refuat HaGuf, you go to see a doctor and you do what he suggests you. And for Refuat HaNefesh, you learn Torah and you say Tehillim. And that's what he says here. And people who mix it up, that they take like Tefillin and put it on a sick person, they not only miss the point, it's actually Avodah Zarah. He has a very clear distinction what the rabbinical message is and what the medical message is. Lo dai lahem shem bichlal menachashim v'chovrim v'kofrim b'Torah. And you have to focus, the Torah is refuat nefashot v'yu chayim lenafshecha. And he wants that the learning should bring the personal being, each personal individual, on a better spiritual level. But don't expect that putting on tefillin, putting it on a sick child, that will help him, because you mix different fields, that you should not do that. And in the source at the end of Hilchot Tumah, he says, if you behave properly, Prishut mevia lidei tarat haguf, masim tovim v'tarat haguf, and that brings you to Kedushat HaNefesh. Your soul is holy. Min hadeot haraot, you think the right way. Ukedushat HaNefesh goremet lehidamot b'shechina. That is a new Rambam source. If the person behaves himself, leads himself properly, that is Shechina. I would like to show you here a wonderful source in the Rambam, where you see the Rambam, what does he like? What is his joy? What is his simcha in his heart? And here we talk about Hilchot Mishloach Manot. If I have a small budget for Mishloach Manot, Purim time, and I want to send it to my friends, to the rabbi, and to the president of the shul, and I have poor people who need it, who are really in need for that. He says, Mutav laharbot b'matanot evyonim, milaharbot b'sudato v'shloach manot l're'av. You better give the money to the really people who need it than to your friends. She'ein simcha gdola u'mefu'eret, ela l'sameach lev anim v'yitomim almanot v'garim. There is no greater joy in life and more wonderful. Mefu'ar means, beauty, luxus. Ela lesameach lev aniim, people who are really in need. And he talks all the time about lev. And he finds a pasuk, shama sameach lev umlalim, dome leshchina. He is really, that means going in the path of Hashem. If somebody is in need, that means lesameach oto. And he brings a pasuk, which according to my search in search systems, is purely by the Rambam, no midrash. If you behave like that, you're actually behaving like God, as it says in Yeshayahu, about God. So here we see that the halacha of Mishloach Manot and the pleasure to make somebody happy, the Purim, and the intention that a person should be like God philosophically, is actually one in these three lines of the halacha. And many people wrote about it, including Blitzstein and Tversky, where everything here comes together. It is not that he has three fields. It's one in a beautiful synthesis. Even Bepurim, he says the same on Tzedakah. Here I would like to show you, also from Hilchot Deot, the source presented where he says a man should always be happy. And interesting, I enjoy to talk to people who start to learn Balei Tshuva, and a lot of them feel a very strong connection, of course, to Hasidut, to Nachman, to Chabad. Baruch Hashem, there is a lot that we can learn from them. And I ask them, do you also learn Rambam? And they tell me, you know, Rambam doesn't make me happy. So I decided to learn this topic. Where does the Rambam talk about happiness? It's not that you take a guitar and start singing why Mashiach doesn't come. Rambam has another experience of happiness. I would like to show you here a beautiful analysis of a text based on Lichtenstein. And again, you need the microscope of the Rambam. In the halakha here, he says, you should not be the general behavior of a person being hilchoteot, lo yehe muhulal besochek, it's just not a superficial joy, simcha, velo atzev onan, ela sameach kol yamav, you should be in the basic attitude, should be happiness. Benachat besev panim yafot. The basic attitude of simcha is a mitzvah. Where does he take it from? He takes it from a Gemara, where the Gemara talks about nevuah, prophecy, and Shekhinah. So he actually says, and he takes she'ena simcha sora ela mitoch simcha shel mitzvah. You need always to have a simcha of mitzvah, doing something special religiously. The Rambam says, not only for Shekhinah and prophecy we need simcha, and not only simcha shel mitzvah. The basic attitude of a human being is to be happy. If you're happy, you will be healthier, and you will be happy if you're happy. That's simple. So he takes this Gemara and modifies it. But if you go to his medical writing, he says that beseva panim yafot, you should be also have pleasure on your face. He says, how do we know that? As a physician, he says, a person who is happy, you can see it on his face. So his medical skills to diagnose depression or happiness goes actually back to the Gemara, and that is the way he phrases his Hilchot Deot. I will not talk about the Islam, his beautiful, that's a whole weekend to talk about Rambam, about his historical thinking, where he talks about Islam and Christianity in his time. I would like now to focus on Rambam specifically as a physician. He quotes in his famous writings, medical writings, Jewish and Muslim physicians, which he probably met in Cordoba and Fez. He has an outstanding glossary of all the drugs available in his time. So not only the whole rabbinical Talmudic material was summarized and presented in a new way, the whole medical material in 7 languages. That is unbelievable. His capacity academically, he took everything that was around and organized it in a very structured way. And he says, during his last 10 years of his life, he devoted it to medicine, driven by a profound religious and philosophical appreciation for medicine. He called the science the maidservants to the Torah. If you don't understand science, you will not fully understand the Torah. And it is actually a good way to recognize and to love Hashem. In his Perusha Mishnah at the age of 30, he says that there are wonderful jobs you can do in interesting professions, but refuah is limuda udrishata avoda min avodot hagdolot. That is a job which is a real avoda profession, but also avodat Hashem, serving Hashem. So he was deeply driven by that refuah is actually a mitzvah. At the very end of his philosophical work, Guide of the Perplexed, he says, and there is an analogy to a palace of the king. If you come to the palace of the king, meaning to Hashem, the best thing you could do is chesed. Ki be'ela chafatzi. And what he did afterwards in his medical activity is the chesed. So you really see that the philosophical high point, the highest level in philosophy, is to do chesed to people. That's exactly what he focused on the years later. He says, we don't need a permission to heal. I will talk about this concept tomorrow. You don't need a permission. He doesn't like this concept. He says, the same way I have to give back any lost and found to the owner, Hashabat Aveda, that is actually medicine. If he needs a certain drug, that is what I have to give him back. Not only his animals and his key, I have to return him. The basic concept of the chiyuv for medicine is to give it back to him. what he's missing. These are two sources, which I will skip now, where he talks about Ahavat Hashem, how do you recognize Hashem? In one source he says learning Torah, and in the other source he says looking at biology and nature. So that comes together in him. Well, that's a very interesting topic which we cannot discuss now. These are his medical writings, translated into English by Fred Rosnow, where he is extremely systematic. The first two books talk about the classical physicians, Galen and Hippocrates. He summarizes them, having studied them carefully and prepared like a little summary, a pocketbook of the classical medicine. He wrote his own Pirkei Moshe. He learns from the others, and afterwards he wrote his own. Very often he says that there was a disease, a liver disease, yellow skin, and it says in the book like that, but I observed them that they had other signs and symptoms. So he learned from them, and what most physicians did at that time, they just copied and repeated. It was a dogma. But what he did, he looked at it, he learned it carefully, but he had his own observation. And his own observation were sometimes in keeping and sometimes not in keeping with the classical texts. He talks about classical issues of hemorrhoids, asthma. He talks very openly about sexuality. And that is amazing to see a rabbi in the 12th century talking about Koach Gavra, the way he clearly approaches the people at the Sultan. And he tells them it's not healthy, not physically and not psychologically, to change every night another experience with another person. Better go with one and focus on the relationship. And I think in many halachot, bilchot ishut, I can really hear him talking not to the sultan, where polygamy was common, was a sign of richness of the status, and he says here very clearly, no, that's not the way, medically not. He's not giving them a psak. Medically, he's not giving a psak. He's writing medicine. But he learns from the halachot what he thinks about medically. So that is, I would like to show you now. He says in one of his aphorisms in Hilchot Bepirkei Moshe, don't treat the disease, treat the patient. Which might be an earlier saying, but it certainly identifies Rambam, his special feature, and I like that very much. If you look at the Patch Adams, which I have a special love for him, because it says afterwards Patch Adams Gesundheit Institut, and I feel very connected to the approach he looked at the human being and not only at the disease. If you remember these pictures there, Galen's art heals only the body, but Rambam body and soul. His knowledge made him the physician of the century. He could heal with wisdom the sickness of ignorance. Teaching a person to have understanding what's going on with him is actually the beginning of the healing process. Before giving him anything, habitu lenafshotechem. What he says in Ilchot Tshuva is the same way he was treating patients. He should know where he is in a very interesting way. Let me bring you now to his clinic, talking to a patient. And that is a very interesting source. I published it last year in the American Journal of Psychiatry, and there are certain issues which I sent there, which I submitted there, and one aspect which I did not write for a reason you will understand in a moment. He was treating one of the nephew of the Sultan who suffered from probably manic depressive disease, and he wrote him a letter to treat his depression. He saw him and afterwards he wrote it down. He should have this recommendation in writing. At that time, antidepressants were not available. So what could you do if a person is depressed, severely depressed? Of course, you can talk to him, you can interact with him personally, you can guide him, and that's exactly what he does. The only drug or agent available is alcohol. But how could you give your Islamic patient alcohol, zaysur mi de oraita, mi de Islam? You can never ever give him to drink alcohol if that is what you feel makes him a little bit more happy, because it's forbidden to him. So the servant is aware that because of the high intelligence of you, he can conduct himself as is proper. You have to conduct yourself. He doesn't tell him what to do. He just helps him to decide what he should decide what to do. Is it allowed or not? So he says, please go to your religious advisors. And he should decide. And he quotes here, I think the quotation is from Masechet Pe'ah, the beginning. Not quoting it clearly, but he talks about that. And he says, it's a beautiful letter. He says, medicine, as a physician, I have to tell you what is medically correct. If it's not compatible with your religious belief system, I have to talk to you as a physician. Very interesting that this concept actually takes us back to Ilchot Shabbat in the Rambam, where he talks about Pikuach Nefesh. For Pikuach Nefesh, everything is allowed, because life is more important than any mitzvah beside three. So the idea of Pikuach Nefesh is reflected in this letter, but not called Pikuach Nefesh, because that's not the language he's talking. And he says at the end that you have to conduct yourself. You have, the physician is under the obligation. You don't have that, I apologize. In this source, I covered it by the another source, you will see it in a moment. Inasmuch as he is a physician, to offer and to depict the beneficial regimen, no matter if it's prohibited or permitted. There is full dedication and commitment for a physician to say what is correct. No political or religious agenda can play a role. And at the end, he tells him, you have to decide, the patient has the free choice to act on it or not to act on it. You have the choice. You have to make your own decision. That's exactly what he says in Ilchot Tshuva. Ilchot Tshuva, two chapters are dedicated to the concept of Tshuva. You have to make your own decision. Look at yourself, decide where you want to go. That's what he says in much length in his philosophical work, The Guide of the Perplexed. You're perplexed, guide yourself. But that is what he says to his depressed, manic, depressive patient, and he gives him the decision, you have to decide, and the world to come, and this world, don't get confused. The world to come is something in the future, and this world, you have to be healthy. Now, here is a most interesting quotation. At the very beginning, he says, God the Sublime is the witness, and his testimony is sufficient. I'm reading from the fifth line. Before I start talking to you, dear Mr. Sultan, nephew of the Sultan, God sent me to you. And he quotes the Rambam. He quotes the Quran. That is unbelievable. The Rambam doesn't quote in Parshat HaShavua, not the Pshat from Rabbi Nachman or anything like a Jewish Avertale. He says, you're an Islamic patient. I know your belief system. And I will quote your Quran. Because I treat you. I don't treat myself. Not my belief system. And the Rambam had a belief system. He could tell him a lot about medicine. And about Parshat HaShavua. And Halachot. And philosophy. But what he was interested to understand, the mind of his patient. And he quotes the Quran. I found two other places where Rambam quotes Quran. I learned from the Rosh Yeshiva, if the Rambam quotes anything, always go back to the source. I'm not sure if any of my teachers and rabbis had in mind I should go to learn Quran in order to understand what the Rambam says. That is what I did not publish in this letter, and I will show you here an opening in the Rambam where he has a historical deep insight. I would call it the Israeli or Jewish Arabic conflict. What does it say in the source here of the Quran? I spent several days in the Hebrew University Library to drive all the librarians crazy to bring me all the books they could find on the Quran. Here it says Muhammad encouraged his followers to fight the holy war. And there it says, the enjoyment of this world is little. The world to come is better for him who fears God. Whatever good visits you, it is of God. Whatever evil visits you is of yourself. And we have sent you as a messenger to all mankind. God suffices for witness. What is the source of this quotation by the Rambam? The source is that Muhammad was sent to you to do the holy war, jihad, and to kill everybody who is not going following your way. That is the source. And Muhammad was sent and he will do the job. What is the Rambam saying? Forget about Muhammad. I'm your doctor. Oh, you are depressed. Let me help you. Forget about fundamentalistic teachings. There is nothing like that. But the Rambam, quite the Galiciano, he takes the Quran and quotes, I am sent to you as a doctor. Because when it comes to health, I have a total obligation to make you happy and healthy. regardless, that is what he says in the text, what the religious tradition says, because pikuach nefesh nitcha. And he tells him, if you are depressed, ask your priests what they should do in order to be healthy. And I think this insight, I never saw somebody who wrote a commentary on the Chidushei HaRambam al HaKoran, what he had to explain on the Koran, but I think that is a very deep insight. Don't take any fundamentalistic approach how to learn to kill people who are not following your way. Take only, I'm the witness, how to heal you, not how to kill you. That is a classical Rambam learned from his medical activities dealing our patients. I will come here to the very end. As a philosopher, I will leave this section, and I come to the summary that his academic and literary capacity is outstanding, what he accomplished in his life. A very rational thinking and search for truth, lekabelet haemet mipi misha amaram, to accept the truth from everybody, regardless if he's a Jewish philosopher or if his name is Aristotle or Plato. He was called the architect of Judaism for his comprehensive knowledge and synthesis of various fields. He had very impressive social involvement to the needs of his audience. He knew how to write letters, people in need. And as a physician, he had a very broad, holistic approach, scientific, humanistic, philosophical, psychological, psychosomatic, spiritual, and religious dimensions, which are very unique for his way to perform medicine. In his young age, Rambam wrote in his commentary to the Mishnah, and that is my last slide, that one of the famous rabbis in the Mishnah is called Ish HaEshkolot, the person who is compared, and a scholar is called Eshkolot. He is like a cluster of many, many fruits together. And Rambam explains there, because they know how to combine in their personalities outstanding moral virtues and various fields of science, just like different parts of a cluster that form a single unit. And I think the Rambam is really an outstanding personality, his image and his synthesis, that medicine, rabbinical writing, philosophy, it's all one, separated and presented in different fields, but probably there is no better example for Ish HaEshkolot as explained by the Rambam as the Rambam himself. Thank you for your attention. If there are any easy questions, I'll be happy to take them. Please.
Easy question. Is there any historical basis to say that the Rambam actually looked like this picture that we often see of him?
No, there's no historical basis. And also the famous prayer, which is called the prayer of the Rambam, I have to disappoint a lot of people, that is not his prayer. This prayer was written by a scholar in Germany, a rabbi, who wrote the prayer, but in order to make it famous, he called it Tfilat HaRambam. So that is, I did not present that, but I think the most beautiful prayer by him is what I presented, L'Sameach Leva Umlalim, that is the Rambam, and that might be his prayer. I'm done. Any other easy question? Thank you very much.
Okay.